Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to James, the second chapter. We're talking about great faith and how that pertains to your calling, how that pertains to you walking into your destiny and seeking God's will for your life. And we talked about listening to God, praying and asking, ask and you shall receive. And then when he speaks to you, then the next step is up to you. You need to step out in faith, and you need to step out and move into your calling and into your destiny. And God has a place for you in his kingdom. He has a work for you in his kingdom. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, talks about this in the book of James in chapter 2. He brings up the subject of faith and how it is tied to kingdom works. James 2:14, what does it profit, brethren, if someone says he has faith but he does not have works? Can that faith save him? Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And so James says, if you claim you have faith, and I'm sure many of you do, you have faith in Jesus, you've maybe displayed that in different ways through the years, but to just sit in the pew week after week after week, or even just sit in your home and listen to this radio broadcast week after week, but not do anything with your faith, is death or dead. James says you might as well just dig a hole and put your faith in the hole and bury it, because just like your body is going to die someday, he's saying your faith is dead, and without the works to go along with your faith is dead. Verse 18, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so James is saying that when you look at his life, when you look at the works he is doing or the works that he's done, when you look at the fruits of his walk with the Lord, that his faith is displayed by the works that he does, that his faith is manifested in the works that he does, that without any works, his faith is dead, and so therefore the faith without works is dead. And so as you look at your life, if you stand in front of the mirror today, or pretend like you're standing in front of Jesus, which you will do someday, and he says to you, what did you do with the talents that I gave you? What did you do with the provision, the money that I gave you? What did you do with the strength, the resources, the intellectual capability, all of these things that I gave you? Did you just go bury them in the ground and do nothing with them? Or did you invest them in kingdom opportunities? Did you invest them in kingdom projects? And James goes on to say in verse 20, but do you want to know, brother, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And then regarding Abraham, James says this, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And so James says that we are perfected by the works, that when we step out with our faith, that we step out and we do the works of the kingdom, then our faith is perfected. And of course we know that in Abraham's case, he stepped out, he went to a country that God was calling him to, but when he stepped out, he didn't know where he was going, he didn't know how he was going to get there, he didn't know the route or the path. He just stepped out in faith, and he trusted God to lead him, and he trusted God to provide for him. And so it takes great faith to step out and to allow the Lord to lead us in ways that we don't know where we're going, but we walk by faith as believers in Jesus Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. Even to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior requires us to step out in a measure of faith, because we don't know everything about the Christian faith. We don't know everything about God's Word, what all of the totality of God's Word means for our life, or what our Christian walk is going to look like 5 years from now or 10 years from now. But when we step out in faith, we're saying, Jesus, I trust you. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm not leaning on my own knowledge here. I'm trusting you. I'm believing in the miracles that you performed. I'm believing that you can do those in my life, that you can transform my life. And as we step out in faith, as we look to the future and come into agreement with God, then we are looking for the blessings to come and saying, God, I believe you're going to provide those blessings. I believe that you are going to provide in ways that I can't see today, that I don't know about today, but I trust you that you're going to provide. And that's great faith, brothers and sisters. That's great faith. And it said that Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. When he believed about the promises that God spoke over him, that the descendants of Abraham, and at that time he was childless, that your descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as numerous as the sand in the seashore. And Abraham's going, what? I don't have an heir. I don't have a child. And his wife was 90 years old, but God said, I'm going to bless you through your seed. I'm going to bless you so that all your descendants will be blessed through your seed. And so it said Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, an accounting term. It was credited on the credit side of the ledger. It was given to Abraham as righteousness because he believed in the promises of God. Well, as you look around your life and you say, well, okay, what do I do now? I have faith and I want to step out and do works. I want to step out and express my faith through works. Well, God has a plan for you, brother and sister. He has a plan for you to minister to the kingdom and look for kingdom opportunities. And just because you're listening and looking for kingdom opportunities, that does not alleviate you from getting up and going to work tomorrow or whatever God has in terms of vocation. He also wants to use you in your vocation, and he wants to use you in your vocation to look for kingdom opportunities, to minister to your coworkers, to minister to those. You may be the owner or the supervisor of a company or a manager. For those who are underneath you, he may want you to minister to them or to your boss if you are or if you are working or an employee of some company. Use those kingdom opportunities in a way that brings the glory of God into your company, into your workplace, into your whether you're a farmer, a teacher, a plumber, or whatever you are. Use those kingdom opportunities, the way God opens up doors for you, to minister to those who are in need, even in the place where you are working day after day. But there are some, I think you would say, categories of people or segments of humanity, domains of humanity, where God wants us to focus our effort in terms of kingdom works. And if you'll turn in Matthew 25 and start in verse 34, Jesus talks about these kingdom opportunities in these certain areas of humanity. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And then the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Well, we know that whenever you minister to those in those categories of humanity that Jesus just talked about, those that are needy, those that are hungry and sick and thirsty and need clothing, and those that are strangers and aliens, and those that are in prison, when you minister to them, you are ministering to Jesus Christ. That's one of the great things that I love about going into the prison and ministering in the prison, is Jesus always shows up. He's always there, because there's men there that are hungry and that are searching, and there's men that are seeking the Lord. And so when I go in there, or any person goes in there to minister, you're going to see Jesus. And when you give to those who don't have clothing, and when you give food to those who are hungry, and you give water to those that are thirsty, and you take in the alien among you, the stranger, the person who has no home, then Jesus says, you're doing it unto me, even the least of these of mine. And many times, brethren, you're going to be given an opportunity to minister to the least of these of mine, and you're not even going to know that Jesus is there. You're not even going to fully appreciate the fact that you're ministering to Jesus, but Jesus will give you the heart to reach out to these people. Jesus will give you the heart to see the need, and he'll open up the doors for you to see the need. I can't tell you, brothers and sisters, how I've been pierced to the heart after being in Africa several times now about the need for children there, and everywhere you see children, there's so many millions of children, 15 million orphan children in Africa, and everywhere you go you see children that are in need. And so God has given me the heart, and he's pierced my heart and broken my heart for these children who need clothing, they need food, they need shelter, they need the basic things of existence here on this earth that we just take for granted here in America. And God has given me a heart for these children, and so I have been pierced to the heart to build an orphanage for these children. We already have the land, and you've heard me speak about this, but I'm going to keep talking about it because this is God's will for me to be a link between those that need and those that have the provision. And God is just going to use me to be a link to provide provision, not just for this orphanage, but for many orphanages and for children who are in need over there in Africa. And so God is just saying, I'm going to use you, Jim, and you lay down your life for me, and I'm going to use you in a way that will bring glory and honor to my kingdom and will bring blessings to these that are receiving over there in Africa who don't have. And when you start looking for those opportunities, maybe you can't go to Africa, maybe you can't even go to Mexico or to a Native American reservation here in America where there's lots of poverty, maybe you can't go to these places, but I can tell you, some of you out there listening to me today, you can write out a big check. You can write out a check that will help bring these orphanages and bring this food and the shelter and the clothing into reality. And maybe that's what God is calling you to do. There's some people out there today. You need to pray about what it is that God wants you to do. And instead of holding your money in a bank and making 1% interest on it, maybe you should go for that 30, 60, and 100-fold multiplication of your money and send it on into a kingdom project and send that money on up ahead so it will be stored up for you in heaven where moths and rust and thieves can't steal it. And you will receive that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing that will bless not only the kingdom and these people that on the receiving end of the blessings that you provide, but it will bless you also because you know that you are doing something mighty for the kingdom of God, and you know that you're doing mighty for his kingdom, that it would bring glory to him and glory to his name here on this earth. One of the main reasons that I went into the prison to minister for the very first time was that scripture right there, Matthew 25:36, was on my heart as I went in there, and God said, if you will minister to these, you're going to see Jesus in these men, in these broken men, and you're going to see Jesus in here amidst these men, and the Holy Spirit will be moving and convicting them of their sin and convicting them of righteousness and judgment. And I've seen the Holy Spirit come in and touch men's hearts in ways that they never could have been touched if they hadn't been to prison, if they hadn't gotten to that place of brokenness and that place where the only thing between them and nothing is just a blue shirt and a pair of blue pants. And so they come to that place of brokenness where they've lost everything, their relationships are shattered, the loved ones have rejected them. And I tell you, Jesus will not reject them in that place. Jesus will not abandon them. He will not forsake them in that place. And I've seen men's hearts be turned around and caught on fire for the Lord, and they leave that place with a whole new lease on life, a whole new grip on their purpose here on this earth and their identity here in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to close today talking about great faith, and a person that we're going to study more today and next week, and that is Gideon. Gideon, who led the Israelites against the Midianites, and it's an example for us of stepping out in faith, and it's an example for us in stepping out even when the enemy is coming against us and tormenting us. And I'm in Judges 6, verse 1. If you have your Bible there, it says, the land had rest for 40 years, and then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Well, you might step back and say, well, that's pretty cruel of the Lord. What kind of a cruel God do we have where he has delivered his own children, the children of Israel, into the hand of the enemy? And you can compare this to a large degree to what is going on here in America and other places that I've been around the world, that people are turning away from God. People are not honoring God in their life. They don't honor the Lord's Day. They don't go to church. They don't read his word. They don't spend time in prayer. But they have great expectation for their material wealth, their material satisfaction. And at that point in time, when people start to value the creation, those things that God has given him, the bounty of the material blessings, when they start to honor that and worship that and cherish that in their life over their creator and over the one who gave them those things in the first place, then God says, I'm going to chastise, just as your parents chastised you, just as your parents had to discipline you at times, so God also has to discipline us. And he does that because he loves us. He does it so that we will come back to him. He does it so that we will come and acknowledge him as our creator and acknowledge him as the one who gives us the power to make wealth, that we will acknowledge him as the one who gives us everything that we have, that the food that we have and the water and the great edifices, the church buildings and the houses that we have here in America, it all came because the Creator blessed this nation, because we were a nation and still claim to be a nation, one nation under God. And so as the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, they turned their hearts away from the Lord, then the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midians for 7 years. In verse 2 it says, the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And verse 3, so it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. And verse 4, they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth. And so whenever the Israelites were sowing their crops and sowing, expecting a harvest, the Midianites would come up and camp against them and plot against them and harass them and torment them, and they would steal from them and take from them that which they expected to harvest. Well, isn't that what's going on here in America today? Isn't that what's going on in many of our lives today? We sow, but we don't reap, and we have an expectation of harvest, but the harvest never comes. We are in a dry and weary land. We're in drought, and we don't reap what we sow in terms of the blessings, but we reap the corruption, we reap the destruction, we reap the deceit and the lies of the devil and the evil one. And so God is saying to you today, wherever you're at today, brother and sister, in your walk with the Lord, he's saying to you today, turn back to the Lord. Come back to me. I want to give my blessings to you. I want you to harvest the blessings and the bounty that I have for you. But God is saying to you today and to us here in America as a nation, he's saying, if you don't turn back to me, if you don't turn back to me, I'm going to loose the Midianites in your midst, and I'm going to bring the enemies of you against you, and they will carry off your children. They will carry off everything that you have. And so the Lord is saying today, come back to me, turn back to me. Well, I'm not going to go into this story today. We're going to take it up in a greater depth next week, the story of Midian or of Gideon. It's a great story, a story of faith, a story of stepping out. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, God has blessings for you in store. He wants to speak his blessings over you, which I'm going to do today. He wants to bless you. He wants you to move forward into your calling, into your destiny. The prophetic words that he speaks over you in the Bible, he wants those to come to pass. And as a nation, he wants us to turn to him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the Lord says, then I will hear your prayer from heaven, I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. Well, this is what we need, brothers and sisters. We need healing here. We need to push back the darkness. We need to let the light of the gospel into this land and into our children, into our families, into our churches, into our leaders, our elected leaders, our president and our Congress and our Supreme Court, our judges. And if we turn to the Lord and cry out to him, God will be faithful and true, as he always is, to hear our prayer, and heal our land. Well, if you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do that today. I urge you to do that today. Get down on your knees, do some business with the Lord, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, turn from your wicked ways, and the Lord will be faithful and true to save you. He knows your heart. Follow it up with Christian baptism, and then start looking for those works so that your faith that you have placed in Jesus Christ, so that faith will be made perfect. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. We'll take up the story of Gideon next week. Have a great week.